at the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Oh! You are round MVP.
Yeah, man! Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way! That was some ownage. It's a good thing you got me as your wingman.
Right. You mean when you threw that flash grenade at me?
Whatever, man. Huge round. Seriously, great stuff.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. So will getting into college. I've got what it takes.
All right, class. I'm going to pass back your tests. And a high score goes to... Brian.
Oh, yeah. High score, baby.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
For more information in Michigan, visit knowhowtogomichigan.org. That's knowhowtogomichigan.org.
2013 summer semester at Henry Ford Community College is fast approaching. Now is the time to register. This summer, the semester will start June 25th and will last through August 12th. For more information on registering for the summer, go to www.hfcc.edu. Once again, that is www.hfcc.edu.
Hey, summer's right around the corner. And to celebrate the summer fun that's coming up, WHFR is going to take a road trip, and we'd like you to come along. During the week of June 23rd to the 29th, each WHFR show will take you on their version of a road trip. Maybe it will be the Wrecking Hours with the Gothabilly Man, Cruisin' and Bluesin' with the Jumper, or maybe even Global Village with Margaret. Take multiple road trips with all of our fine shows that week. Let us drop the top down and put the wind in your hair on Road Trip Week, June 23rd to the 29th, right here on the station making waves, WHFR.FM.
It's time to get ready for the 21st Annual Concert of Colors in Midtown Detroit. This year's celebration will be from July 4th through the 7th. Be prepared for good food, great refreshments, and awesome entertainment. It will be fun for the whole family. Admission is free, so be sure to come out and enjoy the Concerts of Colors in Midtown Detroit. And for more information, go to www.concertofcolors.com. It's summer, and that means that it is time for the Concert of Colors in Midtown Detroit. This year's celebration will be from July 4th through the 7th. It'll be fun for the whole family. Admission is free, and WHFR will be there at the Max M. Fisher Building on Woodward Avenue, Saturday, July 6th, and Sunday, July 7th. WHFR will be making waves and broadcasting live from the Comerica Diversity Stage Music Box. So come and join us July 6th and 7th at the Maxim Fisher Building for the Concert of Colors. We'll be looking for you.
All right, I've gone through all the tracks. Just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Brooke.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So getting into college. I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And at the end of the day, the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. So United Way is asking you to make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge now at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the new Impact, presented every month on the fourth Tuesday on WHFR Dearborn, making waves on 89.3 FM.
Have you ever said, and thought, I didn't know that? Or, that's a different point of view?
Every fourth Tuesday, 89.3 listeners will have the opportunity to learn about the many organizations and people who are doing things for Dearborn and the Tri-County communities in Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb.
Impact is devoted entirely to the issues of interest to the 89.3 listeners.
Impact is part of WHFR's weekly talk show format, presented every Tuesday from 1 until 2 p.m., making waves from Henry Ford Community College radio station, broadcasting on 89.3 FM from Dearborn, Michigan.
Please tune in, and you might find yourself saying,
The city of Dearborn has a long list of special features, and one of those is the fact that there are two downtown districts. Each of the districts has a downtown development authority that is committed to directing the economic growth in their area.
The East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority is a entity that is comprised of the downtown district boundaries, which were set up in the 70s, and every business, resident, and person in it are members of the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn. The following is a pre-recorded interview with Melissa Kenya, Executive Assistant with EDDA, and Michael Bewick, the Executive Director of EDDA. And now our interview.
Now, while we start off by introducing yourself, okay, we'll start with the ladies first.
My name is Melissa Kenya. Mm-hmm. With the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority.
Okay, and your position?
I am the executive assistant.
Okay, and the gentleman on my right?
Yeah, I'm Mike Bewick. I'm the executive director of the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority.
Okay, Impact Show that comes on every fourth Tuesday. All right. Now, and I'm glad to, I'm here at the East Dearborn
Downtown Development Authority.
Okay, I got the DDAs together. Okay. And what I brought me to mind was, you know, you have the Jazz on the Avenue, and I know that's one of your venues as part, and is that a promotion for the your nonprofit, or is this a part of what you do? Just what is that whole 9 years about that? How did that come about?
Well, it's we started it, this is our fifth year.
Okay.
And we started it just an idea to bring people downtown to East Dearborn just to come see the place, hang out,
okay,
shop, eat.
All right.
And we started, like I say, 5 years ago. We averaged about 100 people a show, and this past year four last year, we averaged over 900 people a show.
I know, because I part of what everybody's grabbing their cell phones. Okay. Probably know, as I said, I've been one of the hats that I do wear is I have a jazz show, and we have a lot of people who come down and participate and stuff like that, and the show is quite great, okay? But now, was that something that developed later on, or was that some of it's one of your promotions for the area, or just what type of venue is that? Is that something that you, like you said, you wanted to bring people down, but that your main focus as far as, you know, getting the word out of what?
Well, one of the many things that we do are think of creative ways to market East Downtown Dearborn. Mm-hmm. And one way of doing that is putting on an event such as the Jazz at AF Concert Series, which draw hundreds of people per concert. So it's a way to market East Downtown and the wonderful businesses that we have here.
And maybe the first question I should have asked is give me the history of the authority, okay? And that might be a better way of starting off. So kind of give me how did this particular organization come to be?
Well, it was established in 1977 through the Downtown Development Act out of Lansing. There are many cities where we have downtown. Dearborn is one of the few, if not the only one, to have two downtown development authorities.
Okay.
So it started in 77, and that was before Melissa and I were involved with it. I was on the board for the late 90s to early 2010s.
Okay.
Or 2000s.
Okay. Go ahead.
And what the DDA did, and for the longest time, they promoted, it was just the board of directors, and they didn't have a staff.
Mm-hmm.
But they did things, they took tax capture money that was the act provided for to reinvest in downtown.
Okay.
In East Dearborn. So money that is raised here is spent here to help the downtowns. It was developed originally so that downtowns would not decay. What would happen was people would abandon the downtowns in any city, Detroit, Dearborn, Rochester, whatever, and the money, the tax money, would be put for the sprawling suburbia.
Okay.
And this act said, well, we'll raise money that is, spend the money that is raised in downtown, in the downtowns, to keep them from deteriorating, giving people a place to go and shop, eat, hang out.
Now, you said the two authorities for Dearborn, how did that come to be worked?
Well, Dearborn was has been a city since 1929.
Mm-hmm.
It is a consolidation of actually three cities.
Mm-hmm.
It was the city of Dearborn, which is the west, and where East Dearborn is, used to be the city of Springwells.
Right, okay.
And when they consolidated in the 20s, Springwells had its own downtown, which is where their city hall sat, which is now the Dearborn City Hall.
Okay.
And West Dearborn, which was the west downtown.
Okay.
So.
All right. And so, again, why the two?
Well, we have two downtowns.
Okay.
There is a downtown in West Dearborn. There's a downtown in East Dearborn.
Okay.
Because they used to be two cities with their own downtown.
Okay, so historical. Okay, so even though the cities converge, they still maintain their sort of like unique
uniqueness. Yes.
Okay, all right.
And that was in the 20s.
Okay.
Just a few years before.
So when the act. All right. And so when the act developed, it was just it started off as two. Authorities.
Well, the West was established by the state law
in
78, so actually we are a little older than they are.
Okay.
Less than a year, but we're older.
All right. How do you see the two distinctions between the two?
Well, we actually do a lot of things together. We work together. We're all in Dearborn.
Okay.
You know, if a ship sinks, front end gets a hole in the back end's following it.
So,
we're all in one city here.
Okay.
So we work in collaboration with them and some promotion.
Mm-hmm.
During our jazz concert series, they have a Friday night music series.
Yes.
And so we market jointly.
Okay.
We print 15,000 postcards with our concerts on one side and theirs on another. We run ads in the local papers and the Metro Times promoting both of them.
Okay. All right. What are some of your priorities as far as things of getting the word out about your authority? What are some of your priority events or activities?
Well, the Jazz on the App would be our main sort of artery of outreach.
Uh-huh.
Other avenues that we use would be, you know, social media. We have a website, Facebook page, Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And that's certainly a way to engage different audiences.
Okay.
Well, one thing we do also in the West is we plow the snow in the winter, we cut the grass in the summer. The city doesn't do that. The downtown development authorities do that. We plant the flowers along Michigan Avenue.
Okay.
The West has some flower boxes also. We have planter benches.
Okay.
And it was when they redid Michigan Avenue in the early 2000s, the board of directors of the East Dearborn DDA put extra money in to get decorative lampposts to build out. Instead of just having sidewalks, we built them out, and we have flower planter benches where we have flowers and trees and just make it more attractive.
Okay, and that was kind of like dovetails into another question I had, is how your collaborative effort with the city government itself is, how do you decide how are the tasks divided up and the things like that? Is it pre-arranged or just...
Well, it's sort of found its way to mesh together over the years, because before the DDAs developed, you know, the city did plow the streets when the snow came, and they did cut the grass, and so we've taken it, but it was done with the tax dollars. Now that the tax dollars that are collected come to the DDA, we do that.
Okay. Which now the funding, so you're funded through this particular act, that the money's in the city through your fiduciary?
Yes, the city, they keep their checkbook, I mean, it's honest.
Okay.
They trust us, but, you know.
Everybody has to have a fiduciary.
It's better that they handle it.
Right, okay. I had another question there, lost my train of thought that quick. Do you consider, if you had to put yourself into a category, you know where you're to develop, you know, as part of the Development Act, I'm going to do a little more research on that, you consider yourself a art organization, art promoter, you know, community promoter, you know, West Howard.
Well, We promote the downtown in Duke's Dearborn, and we have actually sort of, we'll just say, bloomed into, expanded into more of the arts. We've put in sculptures now in conjunction with the Midwest Sculpture Exchange. We have sculptures in the downtown development, or downtown district. We have three of them, and they change it once a year.
Mm-hmm.
We're hosting something new this year called 12 on 12. I don't know if Melissa will talk about that.
Okay. Yep, that is going to be a temporary pop-up art gallery.
Okay.
Where we're going to have, we invited 12 working artists
okay.
to work, produce, exhibit, and sell their art.
Okay.
And it's a way to market any vacancies in a downtown.
Okay.
Also, the winners will be chosen by public vote.
Okay.
So this is free and open to the public, and will be going on in conjunction with our Jazz on the Air concert series.
Now, how does the public vote?
Oh, we have a simple pen and paper approach. You go on in and cast your ballot.
Okay.
And that's going to be going on for 3 weeks only.
Okay.
So
starting
long event, July 17th.
Okay. Oh, like you said, coincides with the
every Wednesday night for 3 Wednesdays.
Okay. All right. Now,
and it'll be open from 5 to 10 with the concerts going on from 7 to 9, so you can go in before the concert,
during, and,
during
after.
And after.
Okay.
We just got this idea also because open early because last year people our show started at 7 o'clock. They started showing up at 4:30 in the park.
I know. Okay, because I get my show ends at 6 and I head out right then because trying to get a good spot.
Mm-hmm.
And the parking goes, the good parking goes quickly.
Okay.
Sure. And that was the other thing is that it's the venue is so nice, okay, that people don't mind, you know, coming a little bit early and kind of like, you know, well, watching.
It's an park with trees, and when it's even real hot outside, when it's all shaded because of the trees, and there's usually a little breeze or a lot of hot air.
Okay.
that's the politicians.
Okay, we have a comedian in the group. Okay. Again, though, your category, are you a community art? What, how would you categorize your organization?
You know, that's tough because a DDA performs in so many capacities. We wear many hats from encouraging new development, redevelopment, and in that category would be the art space project that we're working on, the mm-hmm. pop-up art gallery, the mm-hmm. Jazz on the Ave concerts.
Mm-hmm.
We also do a lot of promotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that would be, you know, the print newsletter, e-newsletter. We market our businesses on our website and Facebook
uh-huh.
To design, and that speaks to what Mike was saying about how we maintain the flower beds, uh-huh. provide snow removal services uh-huh. to beautify the downtown.
I also, my research with art space, and is that something, that's another project that
you're... Well, tell you, sorry that, but one other thing with we do for the merchants and the residents, because the downtown district includes residential also.
Uh-huh.
We help businesses or residents cut through some of the red tape at City Hall. Instead uh-huh. of going to one department, they send you another department to another department. We can help them because we kind of know where they need to go, so they're not running around trying to find.
So you're Dearborn's problem solver.
Yeah, well, because we can't do it for you. We have some merchants say, "Well, you okay. told me that it'd be taken care of." I said, and we said, "No, we told you you need to talk to this person."
Okay.
So we at least
we
say
guide.
Okay.
But we don't make the decision on sign ordinance.
Right. I know, but you more or less can even kind of more be an informative source for people who
sure.
are trying to interact and that type of thing, as well as a liaison.
Right.
Okay. Do you see, now, this organization has been since 1977. What have been some of the major milestones in the organization itself?
Well, we've only been, Melissa and I have only been involved for the last 4 or 5 years now. So
okay.
Prior to that, we, actually, it's been a little longer than that now.
Yes.
About 8 years.
Okay.
When I was on the chairman of the board with the vice chairman or vice versa, I can't remember because he and I switched hats
every year.
Okay.
We got together with the chair and the vice chair of the West Dearborn DDA because we felt we had a lot of things that were going to be happening,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be the flowers or the smoke, and we felt we needed to get a staff.
Okay.
So we met with the West, and at the time we had similar problems, but they felt they wanted to go their own way, so they didn't do a staff, but we decided to hire some staff.
Okay.
And Melissa was not the first on board, but she was the second on board.
Okay.
And then I came on after that.
Okay.
And we just...
And I believe that was the number one milestone with these Dearborn DDA was hiring staff. Because ever since there's been staff, this is when all major milestones have been occurring.
Okay, the jazz concerts,
art space.
We've done surveys. We've hired companies that do surveys to find out what people are looking for in the downtown. Where are you coming from?
Market analysis, right?
Okay.
Is that
technical term?
Okay. All right. And now, where do you see? All right. So those are some of the major milestones. Which one do you think has been the most, or it could be? I don't want to put you on the spot saying which one you think is the most, because sometimes it's kind of, you don't know until 12 years later which one was the most.
Sure.
Of the different milestones you have, what have they contributed to the organization or to the overall mission and goal of your organization? Some of the milestones you currently have. The new staff, you just indicated you got the Jazz in the Avenue, the
Art Space Project.
Right.
Well, it's hard to say what milestones, because things spin off of others.
Okay.
We started the Jazz Concert Series 4 years ago, and then this is our third year. We've developed a promotion book. The merchants give a full page, and it's just a big coupon book is what it is.
Okay.
And we're going to press now. We pass them out at the concert series. And that's spun off of the Jazz, because we've had all these people. Okay, they're here. What can we do with them? So we get books to bring them back, whether it be 10% off on your lunch or dinner, or buy one something, get half off the next. And or even if it's just, hey, I'm a tax service, I'm here.
Okay.
So we pass those out, and that's spun off the Jazz series.
Okay.
So I can't really say milestones, because it's sort of been almost like a snowball going down a hill. We keep picking up things. We haven't lost the other stuff.
Right.
But we pick up additional stuff as we find a need for it. One of our board members suggested we do some specials, like 5 to 7 for the Jazz concerts at our last meeting. So ideas are spinning off of ideas.
Okay, so this is almost like the exciting part of it, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
Yeah, okay, with all this growth and everything. Do you see that sometimes the growth is kind of like getting ahead of you and you can't quite keep up with the growth, or is it all good?
It is all good.
Sometimes we tear our hair up. It's just like, just so much is going on.
But the reward is worth it.
Okay.
It really is.
And one thing we also, we're out there talking to merchants where they didn't know that they were even part of the downtown development. And they are members by having property here or having a business here.
Okay.
They become members. There are no dues to pay, but they're part of the DDA.
All right. Now, I did, when I was looking at the boundaries of the West and the East, do the dealerships and things that, because I was coming down Michigan, I know, are the dealerships and some of them involved in this, or they're...
Well, there are a lot of boundaries in the East and the West, and I don't know who drew up the boundaries for the East Dearborn DDA, because I got to believe there was either political reasons or someone had been drinking at the time. As you go east on Schaefer, on Michigan Avenue, east of Schaefer, you go about 3 blocks, and the south side of the street is in the DDA, and then the next 3 blocks are not, and the north side of the street, 6 blocks are in. So why both sides of the street are not involved in it. So we didn't draw them up. Those were drawn up in the 70s.
Okay, all right.
But the car dealers, no, they are not, because they don't come, we don't go that far west.
Oh, okay.
We go to a block west of Chicago.
I know, I got it here.
TV, we show you the map. But
I'm looking at this map and I'm kind of, okay, all right, so let me try to figure out what's going on. I saw this thing where you're inviting new businesses to come in. Do new businesses come to you first, or back, Chamber of Commerce and the East Detroit Developers? What's the relationship between the two of you?
Well, we do some things with them. It's almost like we're a small little Chamber of Commerce within the city here.
Okay.
But we work with the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce. And
okay.
They have a new president, which I just recently met last week. So,
okay.
It's been good, and it's getting better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. How is your role distinctive from theirs?
Well, our role is very distinctive in that all of the work that we do is to benefit East Downtown Dearborn within those boundaries.
Okay, okay.
The Dearborn Chamber is citywide.
Okay.
And well, now they're also
Dearborn Heights.
Okay.
So their efforts are citywide.
And as members, they can have members which are out of the area.
Okay,
right.
But where we all are members. ownership, so to speak, is you're located in the DDA, whether you own property or have a business here.
Okay. I'm kind of picking up that your collaborative efforts can change as different projects come up. You might have a collaborative partner at one time.
Sure.
And then later on, depending on what's going on, you may have a different collaborative partner.
Well, we've been doing a lot with the Dearborn Community Fund, which mm-hmm. is not even located in the DDA district that's there. We work with them on the sculptures. We work on them on the arts, Art 12 on 12 that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of things with them in
okay.
partnership with the,
okay.
or with the Dearborn Community Fund.
Then who are your major stakeholders?
Major stakeholders? That would be
okay.
Oakwood.
Okay.
Midwest.
Midwestern Dental.
Dental.
Okay.
But those are just
major.
The larger ones. We have a lot of smaller businesses.
Okay.
And one thing, we get a lot of business owners now that they come to us or they talk to each other out there.
Okay.
Because they didn't know. We're getting them more involved with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sitting here like an island. They're sitting here like a community. For lack
okay.
of a better word, almost like I'm all together.
Okay, okay. The art space, getting back to that, I know I'm hopscotching around,
mm-hmm.
forgive me, but that was really intriguing.
Okay. A little history in the art space.
Yes.
What happened was about 4.5 years ago, we were looking at what an identity or something that we could do here in Dearborn. Montgomery Wards had been closed and in bankruptcy, and the building was vacant, which was one of the cornerstones of Michigan Schaefer, where
uh-huh.
we're at. Dearborn
uh-huh.
City Hall is another one. Schaefer Building is third, and the fourth is the northwest corner.
Uh-huh.
But so we made the conscious decision to go out and hire Art Space. We had met them the prior year when they were in town briefly,
uh-huh.
and to come in and see if there was a building, because the Art Space takes old buildings
mm-hmm.
and turns it into lively artist residencies
mm-hmm.
or performing areas, performing space, or rental studios.
Mm-hmm.
And when we brought them in, we weren't saying it's got to be in East Dearborn. We said just in Dearborn. We took that chance because if it wasn't going to be located in Dearborn, we couldn't really help fund anything else or do
okay.
anything with it.
Okay.
So we brought them in, and they were here for number of times. One was a two-day concentrated meeting after meeting after meeting with artists, with bank finance people, with real estate people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were working on a couple dozen places potentially in the city of Dearborn.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic requirement was it had to have a minimum 50,000 square feet.
Okay.
So about December, a year and a half ago, the idea of Dearborn City Hall purchasing a building that used to be the ADP building in bankruptcy,
mm-hmm.
moving City Hall there, came up.
Mm-hmm.
So Art Space put City Hall in the mix to see if it worked, and actually it was the best fit of anything.
Stars aligned.
Okay, okay.
And the city said, the city fathers, the mayor, and the council, they would not leave City Hall abandoned and go to a new place unless we had something that could go there.
Okay.
Otherwise...
That's why I said that.
So we've been working on that very hard now for the last year and a half. Well, we've been working on it for the last four
okay.
and a half years.
Is that going to move you then more into the art? Okay, as opposed to what?
Well, I think with this project, it's going to develop sort of into an arts district.
Like a Greenwich Village type of thing, or?
Well, the history of Art Space is in the 70s, almost about the time that the DDA got developed. They were in Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
and they noticed the artists moved into the rundown warehouse districts, which
mm-hmm.
had basically been abandoned, so it wasn't downtown Detroit until it
mm-hmm.
came back. So the artists would come in, and they would create synergy and a lot of activity. Businesses would move in to take advantage of all this.
Mm-hmm.
Investors would buy the property, raise the rent, and the artists were kicked out because they couldn't afford to live there.
Art Space.
Art Space buys them.
Okay.
And through the federal government and subsidies and tax, it's low-income housing tax.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
rent residents.
Okay. Okay.
And so they buy the building, and
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better word, the rent is controlled based on income.
Mm-hmm.
And most artists make very little money off their art.
True. Okay.
So they could afford to come in, create a vibrant district, and they didn't have to move out. they didn't have to move out there.
Okay, all right. So, I forgot how many apartments. There was like 50?
Well, no. 46, 47. Yeah. It's okay. Still in the state of flux. It's going to be in the upper 40s, okay. Because as they design, the architects work, they say some things work. Because at one time it was 53, but you had a 400-square-foot apartment. We said, nah, maybe that'd be better. It's a three-bedroom, not two-bedroom, not a little
bit. Right, right.
Okay. So they're still working on that.
Okay, okay. Do you see the boundaries of the development area growing, or are they going to be staying the same? Or just like?
At the present time, it'll stay the same. It's very difficult to change your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as it's even more difficult to change them than to establish a district, because
mm-hmm.
When it was established, in our case in 77, the boundaries are set. For us to expand, there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through. You're talking about counties, cities, schools.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have everybody, and you could do more harm than good unless you have all your ducks in a row, so to speak.
Okay.
So we have explored expanding it, but at the present time, it's sort of on hold.
Okay. What were some of your goals and things for your organization for this year start July 1st or just January 1st?
No, July 1st. We're on a fiscal year with the city. July 1st to June 30th.
Okay.
So just about ending our fiscal year right now.
Okay. So have you got to some of the things that you're promoting for your next fiscal year? What are some of the goals that you have for your new year coming up?
Really, just to expand our events
and
marketing of the district.
One of the things we do in December is we hold a holiday open house for businesses in the district. Everybody's invited. We have several hundred people just stop in, 4 to 7, so open house, stop by and meet your neighbor, have something to eat. We purchase food from 10 of the area restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
The spread is, we have egg rolls, we have
Italian,
pizza,
Arabic, Polish.
A lot of different restaurants.
If a new business, a person who's just up and starting, might want to consider this area, do you still have a lot of areas that are open and for people to come into the business, or is that some another organization altogether?
Well, we work with the city, the Economic Community Development Department.
Okay.
But most of the buildings here are all individually owned. There's not one landlord who owns the district. So if a vacancy pops up and someone asks us, we try and hook them up with the landlord.
Okay, okay. Now, the Times Herald's in this block and all this other kind of...
He's a publisher.
I'm a publisher of that also.
Okay, Betty didn't do your homework that one. Oh, he's got another card. All right. Melissa, could you give me a little bit about your background? It's how'd you come to be involved in this?
Oh, I have worked in the downtown area, East Downtown, for several years.
Okay.
And to be honest,
she was working part-time at a printer, I believe.
For a graphic designer.
Okay.
And
she can work multiple times.
Right, and they happened to be holding interviews, and I jumped at the opportunity because I was so excited about the work that was being done here that I wanted to be a part of it, too.
Okay. Now, the project on the Jazz on the Avenue, how did that come to be?
Jazz on the Ave?
Yes.
We actually were approached by CBS Radio.
Okay.
Back when B98.7 was on the air.
Uh-huh.
That is how it began.
Oh, okay.
So we partnered with them, and it was for the first year.
We signed a three-year contract.
Right.
And after the first year, the powers that be in New York or wherever CBS located eliminated 98.7, so it was only on HD radio, so their involvement in year 2 and 3 kept getting worse and worse, so we just took the ball in year 4 and ran
with it. Kept running.
Okay.
But that's where it began.
All right. Now, are you looking at having booths? Although that might take away from it, I don't know.
That's been tough.
What we're going to do is, last year we had some vendors.
Right.
We had hot dogs and Joe's Top Dog, and we had some sandwiches from Alchemos, and the service club, the Denver Exchange Club, sold ice cream. We're going to try and keep that up, and this year we're going to add a little more family-friendly stuff. We're going to have a face painter for the kids. We're going to have a
balloon twister.
We've sold T-shirts, but this year what we're going to do is we're going to have the T-shirt guy right there making them. You pick the design you want, and he'll make them right there.
Okay. Is that... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sure, because we'd love to expand it even more because it has such potential there. However, with the art space development underway, we're just simply not sure whether or not it'd be under construction at this time next year.
Ah, okay.
So we've had talks with a bunch of people about promoting and upping the scope of it. We said, well, because we don't know what's going to happen next year at the park because of the construction possibilities, it probably wouldn't affect it that much, but we don't want to kick it up and then say we got to back down a little bit. We're going to let it naturally go for... We're still doing the promotion we've been doing the last couple years. We're just not doing more.
All right. Now, the town meetings that you just started, you had your one town meeting.
The town hall meeting.
Yeah, the town hall meeting.
Oh, we've had one of those. But, you know, we use the annual holiday open house as sort of an avenue for that.
Okay.
Because, like Mike said, we invite residents, we invite businesses, stakeholders, city staff and whatnot, so that's an opportunity
to talk to us and to find out what's going on. As a matter of fact, about a year and a half ago, we had, on December, we had our art space, 24 potential locations on the maps on a wall, and all we had required for this was give us a building that might be available for 50,000 square feet, and there were a couple senior residencies in our DDA, and they were up there. And some lady came and says, are you not going to kick the seniors out, are you? We said, no, we didn't tell them, you prejudge a building. We just said, give us all the buildings, we'll start sorting them out. But they're thinking they're coming here for information and answers.
Okay. All right. So that's like another assignment or task or... resource or...
Yeah, it's just another avenue to reach out to us.
Okay. All right, now, so you're going to... The town hall meetings came up about as a way, another way of... you have the open house is one thing, way of getting information, and the town hall meetings is another way of...
It's more of an informational packet, but we've discovered that when we have those, it's tough for the business people because most of the people in this business is in our mom and pop shops. They're not chains where the manager can get away for a while. They're running their own stores. So it's tough for them to get away at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday or whatever. And they're open late or they like in the Green Brain doesn't open until 10, but they stay open until 8. And some of businesses open at 7 in the morning, close at 3. So we find it's better one-on-one functions.
So how's your way, how do you measure the public or the community's impression or reaction to what's going on? What's your way of kind of like testing the waters?
They give us feedback. They tell us they love it or they hate it. Some good examples, the Art Space Project. We got a couple businesses they weren't crazy about it, and a couple of them can hardly wait. We'll wait and see.
Okay.
They see what they have now at City Hall, and they've got a customer base, but the City Hall, the number of employees for the city has dropped over the last 20 years, like everywhere else. Just the efficiency alone, but the computers, they can do, one person can do what 10 or 12 used to do.
Right.
So.
Okay. I'm trying to look at my questions here to make sure I've got covered everything. You kind of like indicated about Dearborn Community Arts Commission, You work
Dearborn Community Arts Council?
Yes.
Dearborn Community Fund.
Okay. Now, do you work with the council?
I'm on a committee there, but they're more of a clearinghouse with all the 20, 30 arts groups. So the headquarters, they all work out of.
Okay.
For lack of a better term. They don't have big meetings, but they put together a calendar.
Okay.
And I've been involved in one of the committees because they're doing a...
Fender Bender,
which is a recognition of Henry Ford's 150th birthday.
Okay. Now, your fundraising, do you have fundraisers? If not? So how do you keep yourself afloat?
Tax sellers.
It's called tax increment financing.
Okay.
I know. Or TIF for short.
Okay.
The DDA is funded by all of the residents and businesses within the boundaries. Capture a percentage.
Yeah, the funding works for any DDA when they were established, in our case, in 77.
Okay.
The value of the district
was
established by the assessor, let's just say it was $10
million. Mm-hmm.
So today it may be worth $23
million. Okay.
So we get the difference between $10 and $23 million. The first 10 still goes to the city.
Okay.
But we get the additional stuff to spend in the district.
Okay.
And then the DDA is charged with then funneling that money via various activities like the ones that we've been going over.
Okay.
Because what happens is we help promote downtown lively, the value of the real estate will go up.
Okay.
As opposed to crumbling down abandoned buildings, mm-hmm. which case the values goes down. So it's in our best interest to help make sure the district value stays where it's at or goes up.
Okay. I know maybe some of our listeners have not heard the phrase an elevator speech is where you have a certain amount of time to put yourself out there to someone that you're a potential employer or boss and stuff like that. So what would be your elevator speech for community arts?
For the community arts or for
the DDA? Excuse me, DDA. EDDA. EDDA. Okay.
Basically, we're here to help the businesses and the residents and help create a vibrant and wonderful, happily, whatever, that's not a good word, but vibrant downtown.
Okay. All right. And you do that by?
Promoting events, promoting the businesses, help them cut through red tape.
Here, we'll just...
We'll read it.
But this is our mission statement, you know?
It didn't happen. We had to
take
a while to develop.
Okay. Yeah, this was definitely... The East Dearborn DDA advocates, directs, and manages revitalization and economic growth through redevelopment projects, collaborating with stakeholders, and supporting and promoting our businesses. That is the DDA in a nutshell.
Okay. If someone wanted to contact you, how would they go about doing it? Now you're going to do it twice because it's going to be the end of your promotion. If people wanted to get involved with you or to contact you to find out more information, who and what number would they use to contact you?
Well, you can call the office here. It's 313-943-3141.
Okay.
Talk to Melissa. If she's not here, I'll answer the phone.
Okay.
Or our website, which is?
www.eastdowntowndearborn.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can find us on Facebook. Just search East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority.
Okay.
Or you can find us on Twitter.
Okay.
Our handle is @EastDearbornDDA.
All right, well, I want to thank
you. And you can sign up on our website through our electronic email.
Ah, okay. Then we got all those ways of contacting the EDDA. Okay.
Or you can walk into our office. We're at 13750 Michigan Avenue, 2 blocks west of Schaefer.
Okay. Now, this is Betty Daniels, a wonderful thing.
And you have been listening to a pre-recorded show of the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. This is LaBeth Daniels, and the show is a pre-recorded. And now we could continue with the interview from Alexander Zonchek.
The East Dearborn Business District consists of many restaurants that offer a wide variety of food choices, specialty shops, state-of-the-art medical facilities, and a very unique destination, the Arab American National Museum. This attraction is the first and only museum in the United States devoted to Arab American history and culture. These businesses alone would be enough to attract visitors to the area. But the EDDA goes the extra mile by hosting a special concert series every summer.
Coming up, though, is our very successful Jazz NEF concert series, which really benefits the district businesses here in drawing thousands of people in town one Wednesday every week for 6 weeks in July and August. We also have print promo books and pass those out at the concerts as well.
Special love.
All right, now we have Alexander Zonchek on the line. And Alexander, exactly, you're working with East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. And exactly what is your role and position with them?
Well, my role with them, which has been, I have a feeling we're going on at least 4 or 5 years now that we've been having fun there. It's the same role I have with a lot of other events in this market. I'm an artistic director with them, and basically what I do is I help coordinate the talent, I help coordinate the production, the sound, the lights, the stage, everything that has to do with the actual performance, and then I also work with them, and I actually have 9 major events in this market that I'm the artistic director of, and I basically help to facilitate the whole event and try to be as creative as possible with lineups. And of course, the other thing that I do with a lot of these events, I also perform. So it's been a wonderful relationship. That particular series has really grown in the last couple of years. It's so much fun to watch.
Now tell me about some of the growth spurts that you have experienced since you've started with them.
Well, you know, we started out small. You know, it was a smaller event four or five years ago, with mainly, you know, the best of this area. And when I say local talent, that's certainly not a reflection on their ability, because we've got local talent that's as good as any. It just, they're local because they happen to live here.
Okay.
But we started out at the beginning with mainly just the best of the local groups. You know, the Thornetta Davises and the
All
David
right.
Murrays and the Tim Bowmans and the Lynn Roundtrees and the list just goes on. There's so much great talent here. And in the last couple of years, as the event has grown, we have sprinkled in a lot of national acts. You know, 480 East from Toronto and James Lloyd from Pieces of a Dream came in last year with us. And
okay.
This year we've got Matt Marshak coming in from New York. We've got Joe McBride coming in. We've got a special guest with me later on at the end of the season.
Okay.
Gabriel Mark Hasselbox coming in from Vancouver. So the event is really, and it's kind of a typical, kind of path for these events. Because I've done so many. If you take like Jazz on the River, for example, at Elizabeth Park, we've been doing that for 18 years.
So, all right.
So Dearborn Jazz on the Avenue is kind of taking that same road.
All right.
There will be a point at which I'm not sure where we're going to put all the people, because it's such a charming park. It's such a charming park, but we had a few shows with, you know, close to 1,500 people last year.
I know.
For that small park. But I've got to tell you, it's so much fun to watch it work.
Right, right. Now, I know on the venue, there's you kick it off July the 10th with Alexander Zonchik and Friends, and then you close it out with Alexander Zonchik All-Stars. Now, tell me the distinction between the Friends and the All-Stars.
Well, Friends is basically, you know, me and my band.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we have a pretty large following here, and those shows are great ways to kick this off. And
okay.
And now the All-Stars is basically me figuring out a way with the budget we have of getting a whole lot of other people involved without them bringing their entire bands.
Okay.
We wind up doing a big All-Star show that as the summer goes, I get people who, you know, like this year, you know, James Lloyd from Pieces of a Dream is going to come back. Gabriel Mark Hasselbach, who's this amazing trumpet player from Vancouver, is going to fly in.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get the Motor City Horns up there, who are this incredible horn section that plays with Bob Seger and all kinds of people, and they'll come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll have a big, big, spectacular closer. So the distinction there is they're two completely different shows.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of fun. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, okay.
One of them obviously is profoundly more ambitious, but I figure after a 6-week series, you want to go out with a big bang, and that's kind of how that works.
Now, you live in Canada, right?
My primary residence,
is
in Canada. I spend most of my time certainly in the United States.
Okay, because I'm going to say, do you drive all the way from Canada every Wednesday down to downtown Dearborn? I was going to say that's a bit of a commute.
Well, not really. I mean, my office is in downtown Detroit. It's been there for close to 20 years.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
I've got an office. I have a company called Highfalutin Music. And Highfalutin Music has been there for 20 years. It facilitates my career in terms of, you know, all the stuff that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also where we create all these great events. Our season's already started. It started the beginning of June with the big carousel by the river over in Windsor with Four Tops and Martha Reeves and Contours and me and all kinds of people. And then we just finished a big country festival in Flat Rock this past weekend, Country Blast in the Park. And then we had Father's Day concerts with Marion Meadows. And so that office facilitates, aside from all the other concerts that I play and my CDs and everything, there are 9 major events that we put together in that. To come out of that office. And
okay.
We basically start at the beginning of June, and it doesn't end till the end of September.
All right. Now, with Jazz on the Ave, what's the distinctive aspects of Jazz on the Ave and working with the Dearborn Development Authority?
Well, you know, I think the magic there, you know, and all of these events that we talked about have their own magic. I mean, first and foremost, you know, without getting into that wonderful setting, if you put world-class music in a park for free for days in a row, you'd like to think that a bunch of people are going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the magic in Dearborn is that you're right in the heart of the city. You're right there in front of the old city hall.
Right.
And it is about the most diverse, cool audience you could ever have. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's obviously a lot of folks come from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of folks from the Dearborn area, but because that kind of music, that whole jazz, smooth jazz, hybrid jazz, fusion jazz, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
way too many names for it. It has such a broad audience, and when you put it in a beautiful setting like that, that park is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you got all the energy that comes from being right in the heart of Dearborn,
mm-hmm.
and all the magic of how diverse it is. I mean, we're across the street from the African American
Arab American
Museum.
Mm-hmm.
You have a huge African American audience that comes. You have a suburban audience that comes. I just love what that event does for everybody, and certainly for Dearborn. It brings a whole lot of people to Dearborn to really see all these great restaurants and to see that beautiful park and like a lot of the events that I do. I mean, that's really the magic in it. I mean, there's nothing brings people together more than great music, and nothing is more therapeutic than music. I mean, you have folks that come on a Wednesday late afternoon that worked all day. They got all kinds of, all the drama and the issues that we all have. But for a couple hours in that park, we're all just having a really good time. It's pretty cool.
Another part of it is, because I wear two hats here at the station. This is the talk show format, but also I am a DJ for one of the jazz programs here at the station. And to have a jazz venue is something that's really great too, because jazz has had its struggles in trying to get a venue to be able to promote it and stuff. So,
sure.
And I think,
well, you certainly wouldn't know that on a profound level in this area, because we're very lucky, and I know the listeners know this, but if you just consider Dearborn Jazz on the Avenue, 6 weeks of great music for free. Jazz on the River, that's a big, huge event. River Raisin Jazz Festival, some of the jazz that goes on at Campus Martius Park. The Detroit International Jazz Festival, one of the largest free jazz festivals in the world. And the list goes on. If you consider all of that, and then you throw into it, jazzing on Jefferson. And I mean, we really are very lucky here. And then Wednesday nights at Shane Park.
Mm-hmm.
Even that series is not a very expensive ticket.
And you
wouldn't know there were any problems in the jazz world, certainly hanging around this metropolitan Detroit area, because we just have so many cool events. And what we have is a huge fan base. This is one of the great music cities in the whole world.
I mean, mm-hmm.
That's undeniable. I mean, no one's making that part up. I mean, if you consider... And I have this argument with my ally and my New York friends all the time. I mean, I do a lot of traveling, and I perform with a lot of people. And Detroit's not arguably one of the greatest music cities in the world. It is one of the greatest music cities in the world. And jazz has always been a big part of it. But, if you just consider, you take, Aretha Franklin, and you take Anita Baker, and you take Kid Rock, and you take Eminem, and you take Bob Seger. Let's just take those. Those aren't just folks that are from Detroit. They all still live here.
Right, right.
They're all here. I
mm-hmm.
mean, and then you throw in the Opera House, and you throw in a world-class symphony, and you throw in all the great institutions in this area, and Wayne State and their music program, and all the community colleges, and U of M. With all due respect to all the challenges that the Detroit area is having, and all major cities too, this is still probably... from a cultural standpoint and a music standpoint, one of the greatest areas in the world to be an artist. We all know it. And,
mm-hmm.
and there was a period of time in the 80s where I thought for sure I was either going to move to New York or I was going to move to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
It never happened because it didn't need to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, what have they got going on that we don't have going on? And so for me, the choice was an easy one, even though you certainly fly around and play those other places. So, I think we're very lucky when it comes to that, to the concept of the venues that you mentioned.
Right.
We're lucky. We have a lot of them.
Right.
And I do believe when people analyze the jazz thing and they have their concerns about it, you know, the art form is just too profound to ever go away. I mean, people may perceive of it as being less popular sometimes than other times, but the reality of it is it never goes away.
True.
I mean, it's too profound. It's arguably the greatest cultural export that America's ever created. It's America's classical music.
That's it. That is it. That is it exactly. Now, I've got about like 4 more minutes for you, but I wanted to tell me, and now we got Joe McBride. Can you kind of like build up, you know, your venue that's going to be coming up, you know, starting July the 10th. We know about you and your friends. Now tell us a little bit about Joe McBride, the pianist.
Well, Joe McBride is a national artist, mm-hmm. originally from Texas,
mm-hmm.
amazing singer, composer, has quite a few solo records out, a very good friend. I mean, a lot of these acts that we get are personal relationships because, you know, it's not like we have this big, gigantic budget. What we have is a lot of friends.
All right.
So, you know, Joe's coming in with his own group. He has moved from Dallas in recent years
mm-hmm.
to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be coming in from Cleveland, and it's funky, and it's gospel, and it's jazz, and Joe's a real exceptional artist because he's not just a pianist and composer. He's a very, very fine vocalist.
Okay.
So we're very, very excited about
All right.
the show.
And what about Randy Scott? Now tell us about Randy.
Well, Randy Scott, you know, part of our agenda when we put these events together is to never, ever be, you know, exclusive of all the great talent that's in this market. Randy's like a mainstay in Detroit. He is an amazing saxophone player who also happens to be a great young man, and not that he's that young now, but I mean, I've known Randy so long, and I'm older, I can call him that. Randy is a teacher in this area. He's a mentor to so many young musicians, really a great role model for so many of these kids, and really an exceptional saxophone player who not only has his own career and his own records, but he also does a lot of work with a lot of the other strong vocals. He works a lot with Tim Bowman,
okay.
who we had last year at this series. So Randy is always a treat, and he always brings a big crowd.
All right, and then we have the two bands. You have the New York with Matt Marshak, and then you also
Matt Marshak. Matt Marshak is from New York, and we have Dion Yates, who's one of the younger, newer artists coming out of this area. He's
okay.
been making, you know, he's been on the radar for a few years, and now he's, you know, he's made some records, and again, part of our idea. Matt is a New Yorker. He's played 2 or 3 of my major festivals in this market.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very relevant these days. He's getting airplay all over the country, and again, it's a personal relationship. Really like the kid. I like the variety of this festival. Remember, you know, Joe McBride is a singer pianist. I
right.
obviously play the flute.
Right.
Randy's a sax player. So here comes the guitar player. And here's an opportunity for Dion Yates, who is somewhat new, to be on that lineup and get the exposure that comes with his
right. And he's from the metro area too, Dion. Right.
Dion is from the Detroit metro
right.
area for sure.
And then we have Walter White and his we got small and medium large bands. So he's got 11 pieces. So that's a good group. And tell us about
Walter White, and again, I don't want to take too much time on this, but Walter White is this brilliant artist from this area who has studied at Juilliard and played with Wynton Marsalis' Lincoln Center Orchestra and really is sort of under the radar. There aren't 3 trumpet players in the country that play like Walter White. He's amazing.
All right.
And that band that's coming in on that Wednesday is an all-star band with all the best local musicians that live here. That's going to be a magical afternoon. That band is amazing, absolutely amazing. And it's part of my variety to give, again, it's not all funky, smooth jazz. These guys play some serious jazz.
All right.
There's a lot of power with an 11-piece band.
So we're going to get all the various genres of jazz, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Listen, I know you went through a lot of effort to make sure that this came about, and I really do appreciate it. And what I'm also going to do, cause as I said, this was a pre-recorded show. I had an interview with Alexander Zonchek, the music director with the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. This is LaBeth, and I want to make you to continue to listen to the Impact Variety Show on WHFR Dearborn, the station Making Waves.
Special events are not the only opportunity for business owners to meet and talk about important issues, There are also monthly meetings that give them the chance to talk about topics that are affecting the area.
We have meetings once a month for our EDDA boards, which is open to anybody. We talk about things that are going on in the district, what's happened already, what's planned for the future.
When you talk about the future in the East Dearborn Business District, the biggest and most exciting project that is in the works is the redevelopment of City Hall into an ArtSpace property. ArtSpace currently has opened and now manages more than 30 successful properties across the country and is nationally recognized for using the arts to reinvigorate downtown areas. The East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority has been instrumental in bringing ArtSpace here. The EDDDA is managing the project and working very closely with the ArtSpace planning and design team.
The ArtSpace project is in transition right now. We're working with the architects to create the residential units, and it's looking like low 50s, the number of units, studios, one bedroom, two bedroom, possibly some three bedrooms, plus the non-residential space for galleries, shops. Council chambers will probably become a small performing arts center.
While ArtSpace is planning on completely transforming the interior of City Hall, they plan on maintaining the historic value of the building by keeping the exterior exactly as it has been for 90 years and designating it as a historic property. The EDDDA recognizes how closely linked the arts and economic vitality are.
It's a proven fact that arts and culture are certainly economic drivers. And along the lines of the arts and what we envision East Downtown to be is something sort of an arts district. We have the ArtSpace project that we're working on. We participate in the Midwest Sculpture Initiative, for example, where we have three sculptures installed here downtown. We also participated in the Pockets of Perception as well, the DIA Inside Out program. And also we're working on other arts programming.
This group was recently presented with the 2013 Mayor's Arts Award by the Dearborn Community Arts Council. They received this honor because of all of their efforts to bring the arts to our community.
So again, this is a business group who understands that business, the business of Dearborn, is the business of creating a place, creating a spirit, and creating an opportunity to explore and make the arts an integrated part of everything we do.
Due to the hard work of the dedicated members of the EDDDA, the East Downtown area is thriving and remains a great destination for residents and visitors. And the future looks like it is going to be even more exciting. For more information about the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, visit their website at eastdowntowndearborn.com.
And that concludes our presentation regarding the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. And as we have, you've learned from the show, they will be beginning their Jazz on the Ave beginning July the 10th with a kickoff with Alexander Zonchek, their art director. So it's going to be a wonderful venue, and it's just one of the many things that is part of the East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority.